Welcome to the program, Joseph.
Hi, Whitley. Thanks for having me back.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you, and it always gets me thinking, and I am absolutely amazed, as always, at just how much knowledge you actually have. I have the feeling that you could recite this book from verbatim almost, couldn't you?
Well, actually, I spent this morning reviewing it because I'd forgotten most of what I had put in that book. I've been so busy getting other books finished for publishers that want them yesterday.
Well, I know the feeling.
Review.
All right. Well, let's start out here. Folks, this is a deep and extraordinary journey because something is wrong.
Yeah.
Something is deeply wrong. Let's start, Joseph, with the beginnings of what went wrong back in the, and let's talk about Richard Dolan's work, for example.
Yes.
Okay, so let's start there.
Well, I got this idea of a breakaway civilization. It's not mine. It's actually Richard Dolan. And he wrote about this idea in his, which I think are just absolutely magisterial must-have books, UFOs and the National Security State. And in, the, I think it was the second volume of that series, he proposed an idea of what he called a breakaway civilization. Namely, that if we are assuming, he makes two assumptions here, and I have to agree with him on these, and they're very important for the discussion that we're going to have. The first one is that we have had some sort of contact with extraterrestrials, with interdimensional beings, whatever you wish to call these things, and that this is a major factor of the UFO mystery. And the second component of this is that in the process of this contact, we have recovered in by whatever means, either by negotiation, by crash and recovery retrieval operations, that we have acquired at some point some of this technology and begun to reverse engineer it. All right, these are the two basic assumptions behind his idea. And this leads him to speculate that if we have done this, then the technology that is potentially represented here would, first of all, force a veil of classification so deep around the whole issue as this technology was being developed by human engineers, that it could in fact lead to, within the Black Projects community, lead to the creation of an entirely different civilization, one that exists right here on planet Earth, right beneath our feet, so to speak, and that has access to this technology and is using it. And I found this idea very, very fascinating because I think we see, in fact, I'm pretty sure that most people would agree, that we see something of this whether or not we attach it to the mystery of UFOs, and I think Dolan is right, I think we have to, we see something of this breakaway civilization beginning to emerge during World War II with the vast bureaucracies that were set up to pursue secret weapons research, particularly in this country, particularly in Nazi Germany, and that after the war, with the advent of the Cold War, this bureaucracy continued, and then you throw UFOs into the mix, and you've got the potential for a genuinely different kind of society, a genuinely different kind of culture.
A society that has a presence off-planet.
Possibly so, and this is the other thing. Let's assume for a moment the reverse presupposition. Let's assume we didn't make contact with extraterrestrials. Let's assume that all of this is a development in secret over the decades since World War II of a technology that humans have engineered and gone out there into outer space with this technology. Well, again, at some point, at least as far as I'm concerned, philosophically, you have to hold open the possibility that they've made contact with someone else. And again, if that's the case, again, I think this breakaway civilization mentality, this need to monopolize the technologies of power and hegemony would mean that they would clamp a veil of secrecy around the whole thing. So either way we look at this, either way we approach this problem, we're dealing with a fundamentally very different kind of culture, a society that exists in secret, has its own science, has its own technologies, has its own ideologies.
And is real. And I, let me...
Absolutely.
Folks, I don't want to fool around with playing games as to why I know this is true. Most of you who are listening to this program know about the object in my left ear. This object is real. It has been studied. You can go look on Unknown Country, look at the video of the doctor's attempt to remove it. It has been studied in pathology. It is definitely a piece of technology of the highest order.
Right.
It was placed in my ear in such a way that we do not in the external civilization have any idea how it was done, because there was no scar tissue. There was nothing. This exists. It is real. It was put into my body by people who penetrated a house with a sophisticated alarm system. I was awake when it happened. I saw them come into the room and then lost control of the situation, bottom line. In my opinion, whatever it does, we've never been able to find that out.
Huh.
But it is those people were representative of that breakaway civilization. But here's something strange, Joseph.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have to. I think they could have done this without my knowing. I think it was almost done for the purpose of my finding out.
Right.
In other words, it was a signal of some kind, maybe done by people who were too constrained by other forces to risk anything more direct.
Well, this could be, and we have any number of ways to read it, and this is why I decided to throw psychological operations into this whole mix.
Yes.
Because the disturbing thing to me was to go back and look at all of this stuff that the Nazis were doing in World War II. And to read the comment of SS Colonel Otto Skorzeny made at circa 1943-44, when the Nazis had already put into operation their jet fighter aircraft, they were already raining rockets down on London and other Western cities. He said that the wonder weapons that the Germans were developing, and in the context, I think it's very clear that he's not talking about rockets or any of this stuff. He's talking about something else entirely. That these technologies were perfectly suitable for what he called a Sonderkampf, a special warfare, in use behind enemy lines. In other words, he's talking about a psychological operation. And I got to thinking, why would this technology, anti-gravity and so on and so forth, why would this lend itself to psychological operations? And there's another thing that we need to consider, and I didn't even put this in the book, but it's something that Mr. Dolan mentions. And that is, I think it was the Robertson panel, the CIA's UFO study group, that came right out and suggested that even though they didn't know what the UFO phenomenon really was, or if it was really harmful or not harmful, it could be at least used in psychological warfare operations. So in other words, I think what we've got going on, at least in part quickly, is a psychological operation that, whether it originates with the breakaway civilization or with extraterrestrials or interdimensional beings themselves, that this operation amounts to the same thing, and it's for at least these two purposes, if not more. The first purpose would be to communicate to the victim, to the individual or groups undergoing these types of things, that they are helpless.
That they are helpless. We're going to have to take a brief break,
sure.
Joseph. Folks, we'll be right back, and we're going to be talking about the aims and capabilities of this breakaway civilization. What's it doing? Why is it so secret? What does it want? Why does it exist? And what is going to happen to us because of it? We'll be right back. This is Whitley Strieber. We're talking to Joseph Farrell, Saucers, Swastikas, and Psyops. And if you've ever read any of Joseph's books, and I hope as a Dreamland listener you have, this one is just as deep and just as complete, just as page-turning and filled with information as the others. With one difference, it goes beyond the technologies that may be involved in this breakaway civilization and begins to talk about its psychological operations. And from that, we can begin to infer something about AIM. Is that not correct, Joseph?
That would be the best and most apt way to put it. This really is my goal, and it's something that I know Richard Dolan has talked about in his musings on his idea of a breakaway civilization. What's their AIM with all of this? And, you know, before the break, I left off saying that at least as far as I'm concerned, when you're dealing with what appears to be a breakaway civilization that has access to very sophisticated technology, and that at least some of the ideological influence at work in the stew of ideas that this civilization is cooking up had to have been fascism or Nazism of some sort, then at least one of the aims of these psychological operations has to make its victims feel helpless. It has to convey the meme or the message, you're helpless. Our technology is too advanced for you to handle. And the other meme I think it is trying to communicate is a very, very subtle one. I talk about this a great deal in the book and specifically in reference to George Adamski. The other meme I think it's trying to get across is that the possessors of this technology are so to speak, gods. And that we're so much cattle to them. I think this is a very, very subtle meme that runs throughout a lot of this early contactee literature. And again, that whole mentality that there's a certain subset of humanity that is less human than the rest of humanity. That's an ideology very much in keeping, of course, with Nazism. So I think one of the aims of this civilization is not only to protect its technology and to obfuscate any apparent public discussion or interpretation of it, but also it's a more active role. It's to transform humanity into kind of a quiescent state, you know, where we're basically sheep and unquestioning ones at that.
Orenda's getting great reader reviews. I'd like to thank all of you who are reading it and loving it as much as I do for that. I really appreciate it. Unquestioning, and well, not quite. I mean,
not all of us.
Not all of us. And that puts us in a kind of a different position. Let me ask you something about the object in my head. You know about it. I mean, everybody does. It's no secret. I've been living with it for many years because of the way it functioned when we tried to remove it, it moving down into the earlobe and so forth. Would you have it taken out?
Would I personally? Yeah, I would.
What do you think it does?
That I don't know.
I don't either. I don't feel a sense of mind control.
Yeah, this is something that kind of piques my interest because, you know, if one follows Dr. Lear and his attempts to extract some of these implants.
Whom I know very well and been in many of his extractions, most of them in fact. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't recall many of the people that he's talked to saying that they have sensed any sort of emotional or mind control purpose with these things either.
Not mind control, but there's been a lot of emotion connected both
with
the objects. Oh, yeah. And with their removal, some people have felt. I've talked to witnesses who felt a sense of terrible loss and witnesses who felt a sense of terrible relief. It really goes across the board. There's no way to tell. But they're not tracking devices. They have some deeper purpose than that.
Yeah.
The reason I know they're not tracking devices is very simple. We can make tracking devices and put put them in people you can't even see.
Right.
So why would some sophisticated civilization need to build things and implant them that
implant
are so
them.
Obvious?
And do so in a way that you're aware that it's being done.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's another one of the reasons that I didn't have the one in my head removed.
Right.
Because in my ear removed, because they made no secret of it. They could have done it without waking me up. In fact, they really played with me in the sense that as I woke up, this voice, male voice from outside says, condition red. Now, why did he need to talk? Did
right.
he have any kind of other communication with the people who were involved in this?
Right.
He didn't need to talk. He talked not for them, but for me.
Well, again, you know, to put it in all those terms, to me, again, suggests that it was a bit of theater. It was a psychological operation. You were meant to be a part of what was ever, you know, whatever their aim was. And,
yeah.
and the meme, you know, nothing like this has happened to me in my life. So I'm guessing here.
Yet.
As to what my personal reaction would be, Whitley. But if this had been something that had happened to me, the first thing that I would have felt was probably the feeling of helplessness. And then secondly, curiosity. You know, why is this?
Well, exactly.
You know, what are they doing? Why is this being done? Why is it happening to me? So I think part of this, whether or not it is humans behind it or extraterrestrials, what seems prima facie at the surface level to be going on is some sort of manipulation of a human soul. Now, one thing, when you mentioned that many of Dr. Lear's patients had complained or spoken about, you know, not wanting to have these things removed and feeling a sense of loss.
Well, some of them. I mean, one or two. Most of them were very happy to have them removed. Don't get me wrong. It's only I don't want to muddy up that statistic.
Well, even if it's just one or two, it's interesting to me because we may be looking at a technology. You know, this is the other thing about all the psychological operations. I didn't even get into emotion or mind control technologies in the Saucer Swastika Psyops book, but if we extrapolate, if we can sit here and talk about the extrapolation of anti-gravity technology from World War II to the present and come to the conclusion, well, what they may have now may far exceed anything that we could possibly imagine. Well, imagine the same sort of progress with neurophysiological study and technology. It could be that they have a technology now that can be implanted that basically would allow them to read people's thoughts. So, you know, if that's the case, then I can see why someone would experience a sense or complain of feeling a sense of loss at those technologies. Because
very
it's bound,
interesting.
Yeah,
sources.
It's bound to create some sort of interface at a conscious or subconscious level, I would think, with the human psyche. So we could be looking at, you know, one of those types of operations, Whitley, where the aim of implanting someone with some of these types of devices would be simply to read their thoughts, to get a database of human psychology built up, the better to manipulate people en masse with. But if you're going to implant an advanced technology like that, then you also want to combine operations. And this, I think, is a key thing for people to take away from our discussion and a key thing that they should take away from the book. And that is, when you have these types of operations, I believe that it is a principle with these intelligence agencies, that it is an operational methodology, that they combine several objectives, as many objectives in an operation as they can.
As they can, exactly.
Yeah. So that when they're implanting someone, they may have a goal to mind their mind, their emotions, their thoughts, but at the same time, they also have subsidiary goals to plant memes in the public consciousness of helplessness, of technological superiority, of whoever is behind these types of events. So they're going to combine all these things. But
well, that gets me. We're coming to the
sure.
to our break, and that gets me to where I think we're going to go in the next segment. And folks, I'm going to leave you with a word. It's a big word. It's one of the scariest words I've ever read, and it occurs many times in saucers, swastikas, and psyops. By the way, Joseph's website is gizadeathstar.com. I believe that's still your primary website.
Yep, sure is.
And that word is Weltschongkrieg.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. We're talking to Joseph Farrell. His new book, Saucers, Swastikas, and Psyops, A History of a Breakaway Civilization, Hidden Aerospace Technologies, and Psychological Operations. His website, GizaDeathStar.com. During World War II, as it became clear that the Germans were going to do the unthinkable and lose, I mean unthinkable to them, and lose, they began to discuss something called Weltschongkrieg. Can you tell us exactly what that is?
Oh boy. Weltanschauungskrieg is the German word for psychological operations, but quite literally, if you translate it literally, Whitley, it has a significance that is much, much broader and much deeper, because what it literally means is world view warfare. So in other words, the German conception of psychological operations is literally to change the entire world view of whatever person or group of people it's targeting. This means not only in terms of everyday social conventions and mores, it means in terms of a kind of religious and spiritual worldview. This is a total type of psychological warfare, in other words. And the phrase popped out at me because, again, in the context in which I was examining it, Colonel Scorzani, when he was talking about using this advanced technology in terms of psychological warfare, this is what he had in mind. He had in mind the German term Weltanschauungskrieg, the total ideological warfare to completely change a targeted group's perceptions. And this is what I find so frightening, and this takes me back to your comment about Dr. Lear and the implants and the speculations that we were engaged in the previous part of the show. And that is, if they have perfected an anti-gravity technology and are resorting to psychological operations in order to change the worldview, by the same token, and I think Richard Dolan has even speculated on this idea in his own musings on this breakaway civilization concept of his. By the same token, they are going, therefore, to want to investigate the technologies and the soft techniques of total mind manipulation. And when you said that Dr. Lear has had patients that have complained of feeling a sense of loss at the loss of these implants, that just kind of drove home to me again that we could be looking at, with some of these things, a vast psychological warfare operation with technological accoutrements that have been designed in some way, shape, or form to interface with humanity, to give it a total makeover of consciousness. You're dealing basically, Whitley, I think, with the breakaway civilization, with a kind of malevolent transhumanist agenda, you know, to invoke a completely different subject into the mix. I find the whole thing very, very frightening.
Well, you know, I do too, and I find it frightening, especially in the context of where it's going now, what we can see of it. And by the way, you pronounced that word so beautifully, I'm not even going to try again.
Anyway, it is a mouthful.
Folks, let me read something from the book. This is a statement that Joseph quotes of John Loftus's research. Quote, "The truth is that the Muslim Brotherhood," now remember, this is the Muslim Brotherhood that just took over Egypt, that in all likelihood is going to take over Syria, that has taken over Tunisia. "The truth is that the Muslim Brotherhood was the original Arab Nazi movement working for British intelligence after the war to crush the infant state of Israel. In the 1980s, it was hired by American intelligence to recruit the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, and it is now the parent organization of every Sunni terrorist group in the Middle East and is responsible in all likelihood for the outbreak of violence that just unfolded a couple of days ago in Iraq, or a couple of weeks ago in Iraq, and may very well have some penetration into the United States, because after all, back on May the 17th, the Department of Homeland Security warned that there could be a terrorist attack against movie theaters. And now we have one carried out by someone who, to say the least, seems a little off.
Oh, boy.
But we're not going to get into that so much in this program. But what we are going to get into a little bit more deeply is this. There are tendrils reaching up into our world from the Nazis in all kinds of different directions.
Yes.
It's an octopus, and it has not let us go. In fact, it won World War II, I think.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Whitley. This whole, I mean, we look at what's going on in Europe with the meltdown and so on, and the dominant role that it seems to have left Germany in, regardless of what happens in the European financial crisis, whatever happens, the final decision is oddly enough, resting in Berlin. And with all of these Nazi connections to the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, I wrote about this in the Nazi International and some of the other books, but there's no doubt in my mind, Whitley, that at least one major component, one major faction, so to speak, within this breakaway civilization has extremely radical fascist ideological commitments, and that at least some of that ideology incorporates this kind of wild religious fanaticism that you see embodied in the Muslim Brotherhood. I find it just frightening. We see the evidence of this, Whitley, and this is what I think maybe your point was. We see the evidence of this breakaway civilization with our own culture and with the transformation of America into a police state.
Into a police state, and that is happening.
Yeah, it's happening right in front of our eyes.
Right. It doesn't feel like a police state until you come up against it. Then it does. And
then
that, folks, is, I'm warning you, that's where you are right now, all of us.
Yeah.
Joseph, we have come to the end of our time together on Dreamland, but not the end of our time together all together, folks, because we're going to go on in the subscriber section and discuss in more detail. I'm going to tell a story about this breakaway civilization that I've never told before. And I think you will find it very interesting. For those of you who are new to the subscriber area, the continuation of this will be in the special interviews section. Once you've entered the subscriber area, click on the subscriber, logged in, click on the subscriber homepage, and then go to the special interviews area. You will find the this there. So thank you very much, Joseph Farrell, for being
thank
with
you
us
for
on,
me back with
on Dreamland, Saucers, Swastikas, and Psyops, his new book. His website, GizaDeathStar.com, has a very active message board, and you can reach Joseph also on Twitter and Facebook. He's out there, boy. I mean, really out there. The rest of us. Joseph, again, thank you so much.
Thank you.